Good evening.
Cause it's a thriller, thriller night. Oh, I can do a thing. Whatever, how that song goes. Man, I heard Thriller. I just had to do that. I'm sorry, man. You know, I mean, because it's Halloween time. Loosen up, yo. You know what I'm saying? Enjoy yourself, man. Have a good time. Don't let your recovery, your addiction, your disease keep you locked down, man. Free yourself up, man. You know, enjoy yourself, man. Look at, man, this, hey, I want to tell y'all, man, y'all did a lovely job in here, man. The decorations and stuff, man. Let's give this here committee a hand for the job they've done, y'all. I did a good job, man. You know, I came down here, I was expecting to see, you know, maybe nothing, really. I thought I was just going to be, you know, just turn the lights out and, you know how we used to do it. It didn't matter, you know what I mean? But y'all did a nice job in here, you know. But I'm a share on from irresponsibility to responsibility. And the reason why, you know, that touched me was it's something that's going on in my life right now in all different types of ways. But it's also, you know, something that I could, you know, it's like you say in the literature, through our inability. I mean, this is one that goes over our heads so easily, you know, that we just don't really get a good grasp on it. It says through our inability to accept personal responsibility, we were actually creating our own problems. You know, it's like, so if I don't do nothing, something's going to happen. I got to do something. You know, I mean, let me take you back because I need to share, like, you know, where I came from, you know, where I'm at, and maybe, you know, where I'm going, you know. But, you know, at the same time, I know that in the midst of this, while I share, is that I don't know where I'm going to go. Because, you know, truthfully and honestly, God takes me places without my permission. And the disease does, too. You know, so don't be remiss on that, because it may, disease may take me someplace. So if you see me and I act out somewhere while I'm up here right now, that is not appropriate. Understand, I'm an addict too. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I go back, you know, I go back to the time when I was a younger, you know, a younger lad, you know, and I'm not gonna go from the history of all that. I'm gonna try to breeze through this stuff as best I possibly can, as easy as I possibly can. But I remember the first time I stole something. You know what I mean? I was with some fellas and we was going to the store and with me being an only child, my parents always like gave me stuff. I had stuff. I had money in my pockets. I had nice little outfits and stuff like that, you know. And I'm hanging with my boys and I got money in my pocket and stuff. And everybody had money. This day was little odd because most of the time, you know, one guy had money, one don't. You got to share and all that stuff. But this day everybody had money and we all went into a store and they went and they bought their stuff, you know, and I'm moping around the store, you know, just, you know, lollygagging and stuff like that, and everybody bought something, and we all came out the store, and they said, yeah, I got this and I got that, and I paid this much for mine. You know, used to, you know, feel real good if I got more stuff than you got with the same amount of money or something. You know, I got these many of these and I got those many of those. You know, and I was like, and they was looking at me and they was like, where your stuff at? Don't be asking me for none of mine, because I ain't giving you none of my stuff. You know, you should have got your own stuff. And I looked at him and I was like, I don't need none of your stuff. And I stepped back and I pulled out a big apple that I had stole. You know, and it was like, it's like that, you know, like the Garden of Eden. You know, like that first apple. You know, it's like that first bite. You know, it's so delicious because, you know, the way that it, you know, it was forbidden fruit. You know what I'm saying? It was like, you know, ooh. And when I showed them the apple, they was like, ooh. And, you know, for me, it was like, yeah. You know, because I got the spotlight, you know. Now it's like, look at him. Man, he did something slick, and I still got all my money now. Yeah. You know, and it was like, yeah, I was feeling good about that, you know. And this opened up the door to my disease of addiction, man. Because what I'm saying, that the irresponsibility part is that I wasn't being responsible from an early age. You know, I didn't want to do what I was supposed to do from an early age. And that stuck with me as I went through life, you know, through things like, you know, it wasn't like I didn't know. It wasn't like I didn't have the information. It wasn't like your parents didn't tell you. It wasn't like nobody told me that I shouldn't do the wrong. I knew wrong was wrong when I first did it. I knew when I took that first hit off a cigarette that I started coughing. Something told me right then, you know you shouldn't smoke. I knew before I even picked up a joint. I knew before I drank a drink, man. When I tasted that first drink, it was nasty. I knew right then. You know that I shouldn't be doing the stuff that I did, man, but for some reason, man, I just had to do the stuff because I was doing this stuff because I wanted to be fitting in. I wanted to be part of. I wanted to be accepted by, but at the same time, apart from. I wanted to be different, and I thought I needed all this different type of, you know, approval and stuff in these perverted ways because that's not the way that you get approval. You know, I thought that I had to do these different types of things just for somebody to accept me and for me to, you know, see like I was somebody different, somebody special or something like that, you know, and in the reality, what it was doing to me, man, it was opening up a door. You know, just like that first bite of that apple, it opened up the door to my disease and where I was going to end up going and what I was going to end up doing. You know, all through life, my moms had told me, you know, when I was coming up, you know, don't do this. You know, it's like you heard it said and from Nancy Reagan when she said, just say no. You know, but it was like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know what I mean? It was like, yeah, that's like my mom's like, Arthur Jr., don't do this here. You know, and if you mess with those girls, you know, make sure you tab protection. That's okay, Ma, I got it, Ma, but it don't feel right. You know, I want to do it the way I want to do it. You know, and the next thing I know, you know, through my irresponsibility, I was 15 years old and I had my first child. At 15 years old, man, you know, I'm only a baby myself, you know what I mean? And it was a girl, you know, and I kind of, at that time, I kind of felt like, you know, since I was just so young and then, you know, I'm a mama's boy. I don't know who fuck boy you thought I was. My dad's wasn't there, you know what I mean? And I say that out of jest, you know, because, you know, it's just, I mean, it's a given, you know, yeah, sure, you're a mama's boy, you was, you know, they say mama's baby, daddy's maybe, you know, but daddy wasn't never around, you know what I mean, and so mom was there, mom was trying to put on two jackets, she was trying to wear, you know, was trying to show me the example, she couldn't show me what a man was, she was trying to tell me what a man was, but I need an example that I could see. I need an example that would show me exactly what a man's supposed to be. And I couldn't see, I didn't have that right. So what I went after, what I pursued was what I appeared, what I thought men was. And that was, you know, the guys that I seen in my neighborhood, the guys that seemed real cool and the guys, you know, that was doing all these different types of things. To me, that's what I was supposed to do. That's what a man was supposed to do. But those guys were caught up and I didn't even know it. You know what I mean? And they were caught in their thing. And the reality of it was is that if I really was a man, I wouldn't even have went in the direction that those guys were going. But I went in that direction anyway, you know. And I remember, you know, like I said, my mom's telling me different things about, you know, that was my first sponsor. You know, my first sponsor was my mom's. You know, and she told me different things about what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And, you know, and I couldn't escape that, you know. And my mom's had my back. You know, and my mom's having my back didn't help me. My mom's having my back hindered me from developing into a real man. Because my mom's having my back, she told me stuff like, don't worry about taking care of that baby. You know, I mean, you was only a baby when you had it anyway, you know. So, you know, I mean, it was a mistake. Don't worry about it, Arthur Jr. It's only a mistake. You know, and through my inability to accept personal responsibility, you know, that's how I went about, you know, with my relationship with my daughter at that time. Was that, you know, I was only a kid. I didn't need to be responsible. And, you know, sometimes it came up in me and I would say to myself, sometimes I would feel in my spirit, I would feel like, you know, the guilt and the shame would creep up on you because you know that's your child. And I would say to myself, I need to go by and see her because I wouldn't even go visit. You know, because part of the shame was that the girl that had the child by me was a woman that everybody else thought was ugly. And so when they found out, see, this is the acceptance. When they found out that I had got her pregnant, I was pointed at and I was ridiculed. I was ribbed on. And, you know, oh, you got who pregnant? Oh, you got her pregnant. You know, it was one of those type of things, man. But, you know, to me, and I'll tell you honestly, to me, she wasn't an ugly woman to me. She wasn't to me, but it was about me listening to what other people said and how other people felt that made me, you know, determine, you know, how I felt about her and how I was going to handle that. So as a result, man, I wasn't in my daughter's life. I wasn't there as she grew up and as she developed. You know what I mean? And every now and then I would get that feeling, man, on me about, I need to stop by there and see her. But I was like, I didn't have the courage that I got now. I didn't have a source of courage that I got now. You know, I had a different source of courage. The source of courage I had then was a temporary source. It was a fictitious source. It was drugs. It was alcohol. So I would say, let me take a drink first. You know, let me hit a joint first. Now I'll go by there then. And then once I got started, you know, there wasn't no stopping. And then I got too high and I said, I'm too high to go by. You know, in the process of going by in the first place. You know what I mean? I mean, just whatever I could tell myself, man. And you know, the thing is that it's something about telling yourself stuff, man. Sometimes I tell myself stuff, man, and it's a blatant lie when I talk to me. That's why the we is so important in the program. Because it's a blatant lie. I tell myself some stuff and I believe and you know, I got a grandson right now that he's so convinced on some of the lies that he tell, man, that he started going into tears, crying, convulsions. He acted all the way out. And I know him because he me. You know, when I see him, I be like, man, who are you trying to fool with that, man? Oh, my head's about to explode. Oh. He go into all kind of fits, and I just look at him and say, get your ass over there and sit down. You know, get on. Don't even try it. You don't know who you messing with. I've been there, done that. Boy got the T-shirt, man. Don't even try that. You know what I mean? And he understand now, you know, I can't play no fake moves on grandpa. But you know, when I see him, man, I see the same dude that I used to be, man, that I used to lie to me so well, man, that I lived the lie. I lived the lie. You know, it's a story about the truth and the lie. The truth and the lie, they decided to go skinny dipping, huh? And it was a real hot summer day, right? It was a hot summer day, and the truth and the lie was walking around, and the lie said, yo, man, it's so hot out here today, man. You know, why don't we just go jump in the water or something, man? Let's get some refreshment or something like that, you know? And the lie all the time had like a scheme. He knew what he was doing. The lie always got a motive. You know what I mean? And the truth is just free. And the truth said, well, yeah, sounds like a good idea. I said, okay. So they took their clothes off and they went and jumped into the water, you know. And they in the water. And as soon as they got into the water, they got out and went to a deeper into the water. And once they got to the deep end, the lie started swimming back. And the lie got back to shore. And the lie jumped out the water. And the lie put on the truth clothes. And the lie ran around town, telling all the people in town, I'm the truth, ain't nothing but the truth, so help me God, I'm the truth. And all the town people was running around town and they was walking and they was saying, man, have you seen the truth lately? They said, yeah, I seen him another day ago. He said, yeah. They said, it looked like the truth, sound like the truth. But it just didn't feel right. So it was something about the truth. See, you know, it's something about, you know, when you're doing stuff, you know, you can make it sound good. You can make it look good. But everybody know your spirit. They know your spirit. It's something about when things ain't right, man, you can sense it. You can feel it. Why sometimes I walk into the meetings of Narcotics Anonymous and you can walk in sometimes and you just walk in and you just see one person in destitute. You can walk up and give them a hug. It's happened to me times, you know, and you go give them a hug and they just break down crying. You all right? What's wrong? Oh, God, I saw when I came in. You know, because it's our spirit talk to us. Our spirit tells us. And that's how I know, man, all along, man, like I knew what I was supposed to do. You know, we all know what we were supposed to do. But it was me not wanting to be responsible. I didn't want to be responsible for what I should have been responsible for. And you know what's so sad about it is that through the responsibility, if I would have just got responsible for the things that I supposed to have done, I'd have had more freedom than what I was trying to get while I was lying. I'd have had so much freedom, man. And it is so much more rewarding, man, to do the right thing for the right reasons, man. You know, it's so much more rewarding, man, to try to live this life, man, in a humble posture, recognizing where the true power lies, following that direction, man, and just allowing God to take me where He wants me to be. It's more wonderful than any trip, any kind of drug, anything that I ever been on. You know, that's what they say when they say in the literature, when they say in the literature, give yourself a break, read this book. And one of the things that I had to do through my responsibility, getting into responsibility, is that when I came to Rules and Archives Anonymous, you know, I went through a whole lot of other stuff, but I'm going to skip stuff like I said because I don't have time to go through all of it. I done been through some things in recovery. You know, this is not something that comes from the top of my head. What I'm sharing with you is experiences that I've lived, man. And I can't share all the experiences, but I can give you some of the stuff that I've gone through. You know what I mean? And when, but one of the things that was major for me, and you know, it was really, really, you know, when I first came to the meeting tonight, when I got out and I got out of my car and I said to my, you know, Dre was saying, well, you know, if you get a topic, you know, let me know what the topic is. And I was saying, okay, I'm gonna share one through my inability to accept personal responsibility. And I got out of the car and I see my damn sponsor. And I said, damn. Because I'm going to share on being responsible, and I know I'm supposed to be doing some work on some steps, and here's the first mug I see, you know what I mean? It's a guy that I'm irresponsible, because I'm not perfect, man, and I've, you know, but it's not that I haven't done. I've done the steps several times before, but it's what I need to be doing right now. This stuff, man, is endless. It never ends. But what I'm going back to where I'm coming from is that when I came into the Rules of Narcotics Anonymous, thank God for a thoroughly whooped ass. Thank God for that. Because it was, when I came through the doors, I wasn't looking for reservations. I wasn't looking for another way out. I wasn't looking for a reason why this program don't work. I was looking for a reason to stop using. I really, 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 really wanted to stop using, man. Because I was dying, man. I was dying. When I came in this room to program in Narcotics Anonymous, I had cirrhosis. I had hepatitis. I went to jail, man. I went to jail and had a seizure while I'm in the jail. I'm in there with all these tough guys, man. I'm laying up in there and I hadn't had nothing. And I went through a seizure. I ended up waking up in the hospital, all kind of tubes and stuff all in my throat and everything like that. And I came to, I didn't know what had happened. You know, when I came to, I know I was in the hospital, man. I could have been gone. It could have been it. To me, it was like God tapping me on the shoulder and saying, hey, you better get it right. If you don't get it right, you out of here because I ain't going to need you no more. But I don't think God, let me clarify that, is a condemning God. I just think that if He take His hand off you, you went for a whole lot of trouble. You know, and I remember coming back to the jailhouse with all those tough guys in there. And I came back in there and they said, they came up to me and they was worried. They was worried. I'm talking about people that don't care. They really do care. See, I haven't been around murderers and thieves and criminals, you know, in my time. You know what I mean? I've been around some hardcore people, man. And what I found out about them is that a lot of times, the reason why some of them are the way that they are is that actually, they're actually really more afraid of what people will find out of how soft they are than how hard they pretend to be. You know, and when I came back in there, you know, they'll say, man, you okay? You all right, man? We was worried, man. You scared us to death. And I thought, I scared them to death. Hard as they is, you know what I mean? But you know, that wasn't, it wasn't enough for me to make me stop. But it was getting me well on my way. You know, it was getting me well on my way to saying, you know what, this is a point. And that's why when I say thank God for a thoroughly whooped butt, when I came in the Rules of Narcotics Anonymous, I knew by trial and tribulation I had tried time and time again to try to control my life over and over and over to go in the right direction with the right intentions. And I couldn't stop on my own free will, man. I couldn't stop. Can you identify? I couldn't stop on my own will, man. So I had to come in here and allow somebody else, man, to get in my life, to be a part of my life, to help me, to be able to manage my life without allowing the court systems or allowing somebody else to manage my life. And I put my life in the hands of a guy that was a sponsor. And he told me the things that I need to do, and I just need to skip over all of that because that's a whole nother story. But one thing I need to do, I need to say is that it's more than just knowing the steps. Because I don't want to go through all the steps and the processes and the steps. I don't want to go through all that. It's more than just knowing the steps. You know, I remember when I got 6 months clean. And I had been coming to meetings religiously. Fortunately enough, where I came from at that time, you can go to meetings all day long. And when I came to my sponsor, after going to meetings for about 6 months, I thought I knew some things. I thought I had the program, at least the first 3 steps all up in my mind. And I was like, so I'm ready, sponsor, to do some steps. And back there in those days, man, your sponsor would make you wait maybe about a year or something before he put you on steps. You know what I mean? And so I was thinking, like, you know, I'm 6 months, man. I'm ready to go. And I went to my sponsor, and the sponsor, I said, I'm ready to do all 3 steps. And he said, you know, keep coming back. And I was like, what? Well, what's up with that, man? And then I went to my sponsee brother, and I said, yo, I went to my sponsor, man. And I said, look, I'm ready. I know, look, this is the first step. This is the second step. This is the third step. I understand the steps. I know I'm ready to do these steps, man, you know, and he won't send me on. I'm going to get me another sponsor, man. You know, because I don't want nobody to be holding me back. I think I'm ready, man. I think I'm going to go get me another sponsor. I said, what you think about that, man? He said, well, maybe he wants you to live the steps. And it was clear after that when he said that, it hit me like bing. You know, because I truly wasn't living it, because if I was living it in the first step, the principles of acceptance, honesty, and surrender would tell me that my life should have been in his hands and not back in mine. See, I was ready to run stuff and get back into control again. And then fortunate enough for me, man, that I had somebody when I used the weed that was able to awaken me and show me, yo, man, you're going down the wrong path. But what I want you to understand is what the hit was is that I needed to learn how to live the steps. I didn't need to learn how to intellectually understand the steps. I need to learn how to apply these principles and put these principles in my life. That's the responsible thing. That's what I'm reading. You know, like you live in your parents' house and your parents, they don't have you. They, when you was younger or something, they may not say, you know, we want you to pay for the rent and pay for the lights. You know, they might just say, we want you to go to school. We want you to clean your room. We want you to take care of the garbage. We want you to do those things. And we don't want to have to tell you those are things we want you to do. But if you don't do them things, you knew there wasn't going to be no reward. You might not have got your allowance. You was going to pay some type of consequence. And see, that's the reality of this right here, is that if I don't adapt this program into my life and start living the stuff in my life, the consequences that I've always got time and time again is going to continue to haunt me and plague me and destroy me. I got to put this stuff, I got to learn what this stuff is, but once I learn what this stuff is, I got to put this stuff in my life, and I got to apply it, and I got to change. It's a process. That's why they say we practice these principles. They don't say, you know, you learn the principles and you got the principles. We practice these principles in all our affairs. That insinuates that you don't know, you don't understand, and if you keep on trying, you'll get better. Keep on practicing and you'll get better. It's not like if somebody does something wrong to me today and I practice forgiveness today and tomorrow they still in the same spot and we still stuck, then I'm gonna quit practicing forgiveness. No, I practice it again tomorrow. And I practice it the day after that, because I find out is that the freedom that I'm expecting to get ain't the freedom from them, it's the freedom from me. The freedom that you get when we're talking about when it get down where is that? It's right in here, I'm sure. Yeah. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever remind us to place principles before personalities. You know, when I came into Rules of Narcotics Anonymous, I used to think that what those principles that I needed was the principles against your defects. I thought I needed to practice the principle so when your defective ass showed up, I can get away from you. But the reality was that I needed to learn these principles so that when my defective ass show up, to get away from me. Because I'm the one that's going to put me where I be. You don't got the power to put me in the position that I put myself in. You know, I put myself in those. And that's where I'm talking about the inability to accept personal. Your responsibility. Not the inability to accept their responsibility. Personal responsibility. Your responsibility. What is your responsibility? If you don't accept your responsibility in your life is going to continue to be in shambles. You can blame it on the Wolves and Narcotics Anonymous and the addicts that's in here, but if you don't take personal responsibility for your actions, I don't care who was wrong, you're going to still pay a cost. It doesn't matter who's wrong. I get into arguments. I remember I get into arguments with my wife. My wife has since passed. I used to get into arguments with my wife. And after we finished getting into an argument, because we was doing what we was doing in recovery, we would break loose from each other in anger, go get solutions to our problems through our sponsor, through the we, through the meetings, come back together in love, bring that love back together and not blame each other for what the problem was. Just apologize for my part. I don't care if she was wrong on her part. I don't care about her part. It was my part that I had to get right about. My part was I shouldn't have raised my voice. My part might have been I shouldn't have cussed at you. My part was whatever I did was my part. I need to get honest about that. And whatever her part was, she needed to get honest about hers because it was affecting her spirit. It wasn't about me correcting her spirit so to be the way that I want her to be. It was about her correcting her spirit so she could be the way that God wants her to be. And the same thing goes for me, man. You know, but through this process, man, I want to tell y'all something, man. Don't you dare in your life. This is a God-given program, and don't you think for one minute that there's any shadow of a doubt about it. And if you do, all I do is I dare you to do this here. I dare you to just continue to practice these principles in all your affairs, and then tell me about it later. Because through coming here, doing the work, doing the steps, sponsoring people, making mistakes, owning up to them, apologizing for them, making commitments, following through with commitments, you start to establish something that they call integrity. You know, and one thing I can say about me, I don't need nobody else to say that about me. I can say it about me. I don't need validation from nobody else, is that I'm a trustworthy person. And I know that when I go into take on a position or do something for somebody, people trust me to a point that, you know, like Sarah was talking about, it's unbelievable. You know, they hear, you know, like if my car break down or something like that, you know, the people where I work at, they say, here, take one of the company cars. You can use that. You know, I remember back in when I was using, I had the cars for the company truck. I was going out at night doing moving, man. I was a mover, a part-time mover. I was moving furniture at night and working at the company in the daytime. And I, you know, unbeknownst to me, they had cameras on the garage. And needless to say, I lost that job too. You know what I mean? But that's because I was irresponsible, man. But because I'm doing the right things today, man, you know, things is happening, man, that even the bad things that's happening is turning out to be good things. You know, just last, maybe about 2 weeks ago, I was up at the region and I do some service up at the region. And I'm up there, and after all the server commitment is over and everything, I come outside to my car. You know, I just got the vehicle's a 2002, but I just got it not too long ago. I go to start it up, and I'm almost the last person out this meeting. And for some reason, some people was waiting on the side, talking to each other and stuff like that. When I come out the meeting, I go to start my car and it'll rev up, but it wouldn't turn over and it wouldn't stay start. So, you know, I was stuck. But I, you know, also through my through doing what I do now, I had AAA Gold See, because I'm being responsible today to make sure that I got stuff like, you know, extra money to cover in case of emergencies and all of that different type of stuff. So I had AAA Go, but only covered 100 miles. I was always in Pittsburgh, so I couldn't get it towed all the way back to Altoona. So, here I am, and I'm saying, like, well, you know, so the people came over, and they said, you all right? Is everything okay? And I told them what the problem was, and they said, here, use my cell phone. I still old school, man. I don't carry no cell phone. I don't like the cell phone. I don't want a cell phone. I get enough talking to you motherfuckers, you know, at home. That's good. They're gonna disease. I was told it's gonna show up. But I don't have a cell phone. I don't carry a cell phone, you know, because I believe just like it always was, you were at a roadside service, you would go to a phone over here, you always get to a phone. But that was one time, you know, that it was, you know, shown to me that maybe you might want to reconsider that. You know what I mean? And I might need, because I'm starting to move around a whole lot. I'm starting to travel a whole lot, and I need to be in touch, you know, like that. You know what I mean? And so maybe that's something that I may have to change. But they came over to me, and they gave me the cell phone, and they said, here, call. You know, I called 911. I mean, I called the AAA place, and they said, we'll be out in such and such a time. And then the people, they said, you know, because they know me from doing service, and they know me from, you know, from seeing me around. And, you know, what, like I say, when you get a certain, I mean, just like being out there, but this reputation that I'm getting today, this ain't built on false pretense. This is built on what I'm really doing in my life today. You know, people really evaluating and knowing my spirit. They know exactly. They know really who I am. They said, here, take my cell phone, keep it. And if they don't come back at such and such a time, call them back, and you know, and then you can call me on this number over here when they get there to make sure that you're all right. And when the truck come up, check this out. When the truck come up to get you and pick up your truck, tell them to take it to this gas station over here. That's where I take my car at all the time. And you could drop it off over there. I know the mechanic over there. He'll take a look at your car for you, and I'll meet you over there with one of my cars so you can drive my car home. Come on, man. Think about that. I'm talking about the addict, man. That man, you couldn't trust me with nothing, man. You couldn't trust me with nothing. I'm talking about, man, that, you know, I was vigilant. I was vigilant looking for you to make a mistake. You know what I mean? And I'm talking about a guy who people see that say, they say, here, he's so trustworthy to me. Take my car, take it home. They say, you ain't got to worry about when you want to bring it back. When you get your car fixed, when everything gets straight, you bring it back when you're ready. You know, when you get everything straight, I got everything straight, took the car back. Look it. This is how I do, though. While I got the car was, it was a hoopty. I took it to the car wash, cleaned it inside out, got the owner's manual, opened up the owner's manual on a certain page, threw some money in there, closed that up, put that back in the glove compartment, took their car back when I went to pick up mine, parked their car. Then after I got my car and got back home, I called them back up on the phone, and I said, so I just said, you ain't bring back the same car I gave you. I said, what you talking about? It said, my car, this don't look like my car. It's a different car than what I had, because the windows was all clean. Everything was clean inside out. I said, yeah, well, I don't know. It was something in your owner's manual. You need to check such and such a page. And they looked in the owner's manual, and they called me back later, and they said, you don't know how much. I'm saying, you're a blessing to me. You are a blessing to me, but we're talking about the law of reciprocity. We're talking about you reap what you sow. We're talking about keep what you have by giving it away. That's the law of reciprocity. Huh? And she said, I just finished doing this and I just finished doing that. And I was down on my luck and I didn't have no money and I didn't have money for food. And I let you take the car and you don't know how bad I needed that money that you put in there. And I was like, you know, that's how it works. That's how it works. You know, she called me up about 2 days later. She said, Art, I don't know what happened. You cleaned my car too damn good. I came out the house today and somebody stole my damn car. Somebody stole a car, you know. So, and she said, and you know what makes it so much messed up? I talked to the police, and the police said, don't worry about it. because they're probably driving around and just, you know, getting a fun ride with it for a little while. When they run out of gas, you know, they would probably find it parked somewhere. She said, you had to put a full tank of gas in there too, you know. You know, but man, you know, and she said, don't worry about it, though. She said, because, you know, out of everything that's going on with her life, whatever, something was happening, and she was finna get a new car the next week, you know. But, you know, that's, I mean, you know, for me, I mean, that's how it is, man. That's how it is. That's what it's about, man. You know, let me take you further, because I'm running out of time. You know, my last 24 hours, my last 48 hours, you know, through my diligence and through, you know, me taking direction and through me allowing somebody to show me how to live, you know, like I said, you know, I was married and my wife passed away, but, you know, part of her being here was she showed me about little things, a lot of things about being a man. She showed me how to raise my children. She showed me how to take care of my books, how to pay my bills off on time. Because I was the type of dude that, you know, I wasn't going to pay attention. You know what I mean? I wasn't paying nothing. I put the bills over here, you know, and so, but she showed me how to do that. And we religiously, when I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I had about $14,000 that I was in debt. And at that time, it seemed like it was a lot of money. It seemed like insurmountable amount of money. And it was like student loans and child support. And, you know, and I just felt like I'm never going to come out of this hole. And in the process of just being, you know, persistent and continually, you know, paying that stuff and paying it, you know, and not even looking at it, having it just taking out my check and not even looking at where it's going over time, you know, those bills, they got paid up and my credit started getting better. You know, and in the process, you know, I'm talking about, you know, a guy that came from, you know, the projects. You know what I mean? That I, you know, it's a mentality that comes from the projects that says, if you never lived in there, you would never understand this mentality. But it's a renter's mentality. It's a mentality that says that I'll never own a house. I'll never have nothing of my own. That I'll always be renting and always be living in somebody else's stuff for the rest of my life. It's a thought that you get locked in, you accept it, and you live it, and you don't see no other way out. You don't even imagine it being any other type of way. But through the process and of all the things that I came through this process, I became able to get myself a house, get my own house. And the house that I got is a nice house. You know, but when I went to these people, because I went to the we again, and the we for me was this organization. I'm not going to name, because we had Narcotics Anonymous. I'm not going to name the organization. But I went to this organization. If you want to talk to me later, I can tell you about it later, but I won't mention it now. And the organization set me up and showed me what I need to do and the process that I need to go through in order for me to get the house. And as I went through the process, they looked at how I had my bills, you know, in my book. I had the dates and I had the prices and I had the check numbers and I had books of for you know, all the times that I had, and I had receipts of everything, and I had all my stuff was all neat. And this was after my wife had passed. You know, and they seen how I had everything in order, and they was like, wow, you know, I never seen a man that keep his books so nice and so neat and keep everything in order like this here, you know, and they was, you know, like in awe about how I handled and how I had my stuff together, you know, and, you know, and we went through the process and they showed me all different things and they showed me about how much what kind of house I'd be able to afford. Needless to say, we went through the whole process and everything came out all right, and they said, after it was all over, they came to me and they said, you know, you did so good. You know, we want to do something. We want you to do a video for our program to tell people about how our program works and how the program benefited you. So I did the video about the program and how the program works and how the program benefited me. And a girl that I worked with, she went through the same program, and she said, you know, Art, I went to the program the day ago, and they said, we want you to see this guy that can tell you about the program, and they put your name up, they put you up there, and I was like, wow, you know, like, man, you know, but you know, also the integrity part that goes along with that, that responsibility part, man, is that, you know, you don't know who know you, and if I'm out acting foolish in the public, I'm in the eye of public and I'm doing silly things, somebody that's seen that video might see me and say, that's the dude. That's the same thing going on. I mean, they don't, Narcotics Anonymous is a secret society, man. But to me, it still speaks to how important it is to maintain my integrity, you know, to continue to be responsible in my life today. So the next thing I know, the lady called me and she said, we want to put your name in for this award that we give people that went through the program, that went through hardships and was able to come out, you know, successfully. And we're going to see what happens. We want to write your story and everything like that. I said, okay, go ahead and put it in. You know, it's all right with me. You know, I ain't expecting nothing of it. It's all good. Maybe about a month later, they called me up and they said, we want to tell you something, Art. I said, what? They said, you won the award. You know, you won the award. I won the award for self-sufficiency. Now, if you know anything about the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, it's kind of humorous. Because we believe that self-sufficiency is a myth. Self-sufficiency, because self-sufficiency implies that you do everything yourself. Self-sufficiency says that I don't need nothing and I don't need nobody. So in that case, I don't need whoever can make the tile, whoever can make the stage, whoever can make the mic, whoever can, I don't need nothing. I'm self-sufficient. And you know, and with the people helping me, to me, it's like, oh, self-sufficiency of world. Oh, okay, whatever. You know, it's kind of like a joke, you know, but at the same time, I was proud, you know, I was proud coming from where I come from, you know, to get the award. I said, so what do I have to do? They said, you got to go to, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and when you go up to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, you go to an award ceremony up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and after the award ceremony, we take you out to dinner, and you know, it's like that, and we put you in the hotel that night. And so, yesterday, day before yesterday, Thursday, I went down for the award ceremony. And you know, being in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and the things that we do, see, that's another thing about, you know, doing what you need to do in the program and talking about being responsible. All the time that I'm being responsible for the things that I'm taking care of now, God is creating somebody that He wants to use for something later. See, all the time that I'm building this character, all the time that I'm doing the things that I need to do right now and being responsible in my life right now, I don't recognize that God is preparing me for something else later. So that's why it's so important for me to be responsible for the things that I get in my hands right now. And without looking for where God's going to take me later, just taking care of what's in front of me right now without accepting or even thinking that's reward coming from anybody that I do anything for right now, God got me later. And if nothing else, see, we talk about these principles in this program giving you instant gratification. How does it feel as soon as you finish doing something good for somebody else? How do you feel? You feel good. See, because that's the reward. It's not the blast from the past, but that's the instant gratification that you get for doing the right thing for the right reason. That right there on the spot, you feel good about you, and it's a point of freedom. So, you know, so I go different places and I speak and I share. And so when it's time for me to get the award and come up on stage to get the award, to get in front of people, it was not nothing. It was nothing to me. I got up there, you know, I was the third person to come up. The people that came before me, they came up and said a couple words. I want to say hi. I got up there and put my thing down here, and I was like, I'm finna preach, y'all. But I said my few words and said the things that I need to say. I didn't hog it. But I had to get some stuff out of my heart, let them know where I came from, thank the people that I need to thank. And first of all, what I need to thank was God. I thank God, number one, first. As soon as I said I want to thank God first, the people start applauding, everybody start applauding. I was the first person to say I want to thank God first. You know, after that I said I want to thank my guardian angel, which is my wife, that taught me all the stuff that I need to know in the process of coming here and getting here, that died through this journey and through this process. I said, I want to thank her because I know she's with me right now. She's watching over me. I want to thank, you know, the people, you know, the association itself and the individuals that helped me in the situation. And I just want to thank everybody that's here today. God bless, and just walked off. Went backstage. I had to go backstage and do a video backstage. Now, later on, they're going to send us a DVD about the whole ceremony and everything like that. So then after I finished doing the video, and I came off and I came around and I came up front, when I was coming back in, because you had to come back in around the back way, on my way back in, there was a guy that had a little people all around him and everything that was going in ahead of me, and I look and I see who it is, and it was the governor of Pennsylvania, Governor Rendell. You know, and after I finished speaking, they stopped all of the award ceremony, and they let the governor come up, and the governor's talked about the stuff that he wanted to talk about. And afterwards, the governor came down, and he came down the aisle, and I got an autograph, you know, photo. He autographed my photo to Arthur from Governor Rendell. And, you know, and I'm talking about, look, man, I'm talking about an addict, man, that came from the corner, man. That's, you know what I'm saying, man? I'm talking about, man, somebody that came from nothing, man. I'm talking about somebody, look at, I'm talking about, I ain't no longer the dude that gotta put an application in and sweat bubbles, man, as to whether I'm gonna get the job or not. I'm a dude now that's sending resumes out, and they send me offers, wine and dine me, and I don't take the wine, and they offer me the position to ask if I wanna be with their firm or not. You understand what I'm saying? It's a long way from the dude that came from the Salvation Army. It's a long way from the dude that used to be on the curb. I'm talking about from irresponsibility to responsibility, man. And when that stuff hit me, man, I said, man, I can't believe this, man. I can't believe what's going on in my life right now, man. You want to talk about somebody that's flying, and the song that they played for the intro and all the intermissions was I Believe I Can Fly. And that was the same song that I sung at my grandmother's funeral. You know, this program, man, this awesome, awesome program. Give yourself a break, man. It's a life worth living. Ain't no police here now. You know you're free. You ain't holding nothing. You can act the way you want to act. Yo, the dance is finna happen, yo. You know what I'm saying, man? The Costello's finna come out, man, yo. Everybody, man, y'all let your hair down. Enjoy yourself, man. Enjoy your freedom, man, that you got right now, man, you know. And I just want to say, man, you know, man, this thing is beyond your wildest dreams, man. Beyond your wildest dreams, man. Just get responsible for what you need to do. Get responsible in doing your recovery. Do some steps. Get the freedom. Don't look for the reward, man. Just do the work, man. It's going to pay off. And to pay, man, I'm going to tell you something. The things that's greater than all the things that I said is the things that I didn't say. Because the greatest thing of all is the love that I get from the family. The greatest stuff of all is me staying clean. The greatest stuff of all is freedom from active addiction. The greatest stuff of all, I'm above ground and still breathing. The greatest stuff of all, man, is like the stuff that, man, that didn't even, you know, integrity. You don't see that. That's the greatest stuff of all, man, is the stuff that's invisible that you can't see that's more valuable than all the stuff that I mentioned, man. Give yourself a break, man. This is a wonderful program, man. I got some more stuff, man, but that's all I got for right now. Thanks for letting me share.